Welcome to Composer's Corner. I'm your host, Matt Jackfert. We're going to explore a sea of kaleidoscopic sound called Become Ocean, a composition by American composer John Luther Adams, who won the Pulitzer Prize for this piece in 2014. This piece is all about waves.
It's an ocean of waves in complex, ever-changing relationships.
We'll discover what went into the inspiration.
The music of the sea finds its way into your subconscious mind.
The creation.
It just became a matter of pure orchestration. It was just a joy.
The composer's influences.
Francis Vincent Zappa.
Wait, what?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we better get a little background on the composer before we explore the piece and eventually listen to it. John Luther Adams started out in music, taking piano lessons, but
I never practiced. I was more interested in playing baseball. I played trumpet in school bands, but mostly did that because my dad had been a trumpeter. It was fun, but it didn't really excite me. But then, I would have been 10 years old. When the Beatles came on Ed Sullivan.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Beatles!
By the time I was 12, I had formed my first garage band. And that was really when I first became passionate about music.
Why did that music make you more passionate about music?
It just grabbed me by the ears and twisted. I felt a kind of energy in it that I hadn't experienced in music before. But it didn't take long for me to become bored with the constraints of the backbeat and four-bar phrases and the same three chords again and again. My buddies and I started trying our hand at writing our own songs. One thing led to another, and I listened to all sorts of music in those days, everything I could lay my ears on, and the music that I sought out was the music that I'd never heard before. Started with Francis Vincent Zappa.
Yep, you heard correctly. That's classic rocker Frank Zappa.
I was a big fan of Frank Zappa and the Mothers of Invention. And on somewhere buried in the liner notes in the back of early Mothers of Invention records, there was always this defiant little quote somewhere. The present-day composer refuses to die. Edgar Varèse. And my little rock and roll buddies and I would read that and scratch our heads and wonder, who is this Varese guy?
That Varese guy ended up becoming one of the biggest influences of the music of John Luther Adams, as did many independent-minded composers.
Composers going back to Charles Ives and running through Varese and Henry Cowell and John Cage and Ruth Crawford and James Tenney and so on.
So when did you start writing notated music?
Probably 15, 16. I was listening to John Cage's sonatas and interludes for prepared piano. Which I checked out of the library. And it inspired me to begin experimenting with the Baby Grand, the old beat-up piano in our living room, and inserting foreign objects into the strings. And started writing my own little pieces. These are probably my first attempts at actually writing music on paper.
Soon after high school, he went out to the California Institute of the Arts in Los Angeles to study with composer James Tenney. He seemed to really like L.A.
I hated L.A. Really felt lost there, and I often joke that L.A. made an environmentalist out of me. After I got out of music school, I went looking for home. I had grown up all over the place, and people would talk about going home, and I didn't know what they meant, because I never really had a place to which I felt I belonged. So without really understanding what I was doing, I went looking for home, and I found it at the tender age of 22 when I first arrived in Alaska.
What drew you to Alaska?
After music school, I became interested in the campaign to save large portions of original Alaska. I got involved in the Alaska Coalition and was part of the campaign for the Alaska Lands Act. Up there, I found a sense of space and openness and possibility that I'd never encountered anyplace else. It was really exhilarating. It was an intoxicating experience, and I shudder to think what might have become of me had I not found Alaska. But I did, and I found not only my home, but I found my true family of kindred spirits up there, and I found my life's work.
Now that we've got our background on composer John Luther Adams, let's dive into his piece, Become Ocean. This piece was commissioned in 2012 and premiered in 2013 by the Seattle Symphony Orchestra, whose recording we'll be listening to throughout this program. This piece is a massive sea of orchestral sound and color, where sounds are constantly emerging and evolving while weaving a deep, oceanic consciousness. It also has a deeper meaning, as the composer himself states, life on this earth first emerged from the sea, and as the polar ice melts and sea level rises, we humans ourselves facing the prospect that once again we may quite literally become ocean. Let's dive into the depths of this piece. We start our story off in Mexico.
My wife and I, for the last 8 or 9 years now, have been spending winters on the Pacific, in the Sonoran Desert on the Pacific down in Mexico. And that's where I composed Become Ocean in a very short time. Really, the first complete draft of the score was finished in just 4 months. It just washed over me like a wave. My joke is that we just slept with the windows open, and I get up in the morning and do my best to write down what I had heard in my dreams. The music of the sea finds its way deep into your consciousness and subconscious mind.
I then asked him how he brought an idea like this from his subconscious mind to an actual piece of music.
I usually begin with the ocean and then try to discover the drops. That is to say, I usually work from some big idea or shape or image or sound that I can almost imagine. And then work my way down and try to find the moment-to-moment details of the sounding music. This piece is all about waves. It's an ocean of waves in complex, ever-changing relationships. In fact, the overall form of the piece itself is a perfect palindrome. That is, it's the second half of the piece is the first half backwards. That's what a perfect wave is. The piece is fractal. That is a shape or a form or mathematical relationships that repeat at all levels, at all scales, from the macrocosmic to the microcosmic.
So basically, it's a sine wave made out of sine waves.
Yeah.
He breaks this larger wave into three smaller waves by dividing the orchestra into three choirs, woodwinds, brass, and strings.
Each of which inhabits its own physical space, its own temporal space, its own harmonic and its space and its own instrumental coloration. It was really like composing three parallel pieces. I actually worked on them as three separate scores, and I would work on, say, the strings for as long as I could, and then when I hit a temporary stopping point, I would put the strings down and pick up the woodwinds or the brass for a while and work on them, and then eventually I put them all together. Everything comes out of everything else. There are no solos. I didn't want anything to stick out. I wanted every sound in the piece to emerge from and recede back into the overall sound of the orchestra. So I just used these big, these global dynamics for each of the three choirs. You can almost think of it as faders on a mixing board.
He then asked me to draw out something so that I could visualize how each of the three instrumental choirs independently rise and fade throughout the piece.
Take your paper and the landscape format, turn your paper sideways, and that's your frame. And draw, on the bottom, draw three waves.
Okay, I'm
and
doing
on
this.
In the next level, draw five waves, you know, evenly distributed, and on the next level, draw seven waves.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll see that these waves, as they rise and fall, they ebb and flow. Sometimes they crest alone, sometimes they crest with another layer, and then once they all crest together right in the middle. They sometimes reinforce and they sometimes cancel one another. In the interstices between the panels, you get these two moments where they're all down at the bottom of their troughs together. And these are the two very, very quiet moments of the piece.
So it's really interesting that when we talk about this piece, we kind of talk about it on a whole. The entire piece is almost entirely one unit, much like the Earth's oceans. They may be called different things like Atlantic, Pacific, Indian, Arctic.
Right.
But in reality,
right,
it's just one cohesive body, which
exactly
is exactly the form of this piece. And so there's a lot of sections, but no real divisions. How did you maintain this large, continuous sound in your mind?
It was difficult. I had some practice, though. A few years before, I guess it would have been 2007, I spent the better part of a year working on a much shorter piece, a 12-minute piece for a large orchestra and electronic sounds, a piece called Dark Waves. In that piece, I really worked out a lot of the ideas that eventually I expanded on in Become Ocean. So I conceived of whole orchestra as a single, rich, complex instrument. And that turned out to be a very difficult thing to do. Sibelius once observed that, quipped, that the difference between the piano and the orchestra is that the orchestra has no sustain pedal. From the moment I heard that piece, Dark Waves, I knew I was onto something. And several people who heard performances of Dark Waves said to me afterwards, you know, I really, really enjoyed that, but it's much too short. I was just starting to learn how to hear it, to learn how to listen, and then it was over. Well, that's the last thing you ever want to say to a composer.
Adams then took those words to heart and wrote out a 42-minute long piece. He took this large idea and began to fill in the details, including several rising and falling wave-like arpeggios in the harp and marimba. These run throughout most of the piece. We dove into one specific place where this occurs.
I just sort of needle dropped it and picked out measure 57. And I have the pitches A, C sharp, E, F sharp, G sharp. This is a 5-note pattern. How did you choose these harmonies? I don't know if I'm being too specific here, but why these sort of harmonies?
Well, so you see that the harmonies in that whole choir are chords of thirds, alternating major and minor thirds.
Oh, okay, that's interesting. And then, so in harp two, did you choose different harmonies in the second choir, and these are sort of slightly contrasting to the first choir?
Exactly.
Two different arpeggios for two different harps in two different choirs. Now let's hear what happens when we put the two arpeggios together.
They're all designed to fit inside of one another so that the piece is, over the course of the 42 minutes, it's all over the map chromatically. But at any given moment, the sound is consonant. I spent a lot of time figuring out how the harmonies fit together and what the tempo relationships would be, the rising and the falling of the different waves. And then that was the heavy lifting. And once I had that worked out, it just became a matter of pure orchestration. It was just a joy.
So one last question. So after all these years of working, how do you keep your passion up? How do you keep coming to the, keep writing, keep coming with the same vigor that you have always?
Oh, it's not hard. It's just, it's what I live for. It's not, there's no trick to it. This is just what gives meaning to my life. And one of the reasons that a life in music is worthy of a whole lifetime of work and devotion is that the music always knows more than we do, and there's always something new to discover, some new territory to explore. And if anything, it's my passion for my work is increasing as I get older because, there's a sense that, I don't have forever. So it's just never been an issue for me to to be excited about my work.
Right.
It's my greatest joy, and it's also something I take very seriously as my best gift to this beautiful, beleaguered world that we live in.
John Luther Adams, thanks for coming on the show and talking with us.
Oh, it's a pleasure. Thank you for your good questions, Matthew.
A big thanks to John Luther Adams for participating in this interview and to the Seattle Symphony for commissioning a monumental work. And many thanks to you for tuning in to Composer's Corner. I'm Matt Jackford. Until next time.